And again, like my brother Mark, we would certainly welcome you to the meeting. It was raining pretty heavy, and when I was in the villa, they asked me if I got wet. And I said, well, I ran so fast, I ran between the drops. I don't see any too soggy heads, and maybe you guys ran through the drops. But nonetheless, it's nice that you were here, and we trust that if you were here tonight and you are not saved, that despite maybe getting your hair wet, that you will be able to lay that head on the pillow. Remember, those that would remember our late brother Doug Morrison, he often would say, there's nothing like laying your head on the pillow knowing that all is well for eternity. And there's really, that is a very true statement. And just as the song that we were singing, and tonight, with God's help, I'd like to just tell, because tomorrow, I realized this morning, I looked at the calendar. Today is August 23rd. Well, August 24th, we go back on that date to 1994, and there's something happened in my life that has affected my life here, but it'll even more greatly affect my eternity. As a boy of 10, I understood that Jesus died for me. So I just, you know, I'm going to present the gospel, but I just like to maybe use my story of conversion. And really, I was only 10. I didn't get into great sins, so it's not one of those big wow stories, but really, it's not so much the story that is important. You know, it's fine. You know, it's quite interesting sometimes where you see people that were far from God and God used circumstances in their lives and they brought them to the gospel. There's nothing wrong with that. But really, what is most important is the fact that at the end of the day, at the end of your life, that you know the Lord Jesus as your own personal Savior, because that is what's going to make the difference. So with that, we would welcome you. We'd welcome you next Sunday evening at the same time. And tomorrow night is youth group for the teens. You're welcome to come and some activities and a message from the Bible and a supper on Thursday night, prayer meeting and Bible study at 7:30. And the remembrance meeting Sunday morning at 7, at 10, sorry, the gospel at 7. These meetings are all in the will of the Lord. And of course, you're welcome to attend. We're just going to read two very well-known verses, the first in John. It's actually posted on the wall, John chapter 3 and verse 16. This is the Lord Jesus speaking, very well-known verse. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. In Romans chapter 5, if you're here and if you've been in Sunday school any length of time, no doubt you have learned both of these verses. And if you've not learned them, I would really put a challenge out to you. Those are two very good verses for you to get into your mind because they really present the gospel. John 3 and 16 is really a verse that has been labeled as really the gospel in a nutshell. My father, actually, I remember him telling me really one of the first exposures to the gospel was a man. He had a plastic, almost like a nutshell, and with a crank on it. And as he cranked it, out came the words John 3 and 16 that we've just read. And that was really what he presented. Here's the gospel in a nutshell. And really, this is very true words. Well, I love John 3 and 16. I know anyone that is a believer loves it. It's been preached many times, but as much as I love John 3:16, as much as it's probably one of the most well-known verses in the Bible, for me, the one we're going to read is the best verse in the Bible. And I think there's at least one more person that would probably agree with me in this room tonight. Romans chapter 5 and verse 6. For when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. Just wanted to begin, because often when we tell how we're saved, as we present to you the fact that we know our sins forgiven, it's kind of like our late brother Carol Payne used to tell a story of a little boy going with a cone of ice cream. And, you know, probably just like me, I'm not a little boy anymore, but I still, anybody that knows me knows that that's one thing, my favorite things in the world to eat is ice cream. Well, here was a boy, and he was going with this cone of ice cream, and he was enjoying it, and the preacher seen him going, and he said, "Hey, little fellow, is that ice cream good?" He said, "Oh, preacher, it's really, it's good." "Well, how good is it?" Oh, it's really, really good. And of course, the preacher kept asking him, well, how good is that ice cream? Well, at the end of it, the boy almost got frustrated. He said, here, mister, just take a lick for yourself. You know, that's really, I think, the hymn writer that wrote those words that we were just singing. We wish that we could present to you the reality and how amazing it is to have our sins forgiven. You know, sometimes you can look at those of us that are saved, and yes, sorry to disappoint you, but even though we are believers, we can disappoint you. We are saved, our sins have been forgiven, but until we get our new body, as the Bible tells us, that after we live life and when the Lord takes us to heaven, these bodies will be changed, but unfortunately, we still have something within us that we don't always do the right thing. We don't always act the right way. We don't always have the right attitude. There are times maybe we didn't wake up on the right side of the bed, or we didn't have enough coffee, or maybe there's things that are stressing us, and maybe we can be a little bit touchy, a little bit cranky. I certainly hope that those of us that are saved, that we do present a happiness that comes within despite our circumstances. But just to be honest, that as you can look at us as believers, and if you were to know us a little bit, you'll know that unfortunately we do have shortcomings. But what we are presenting to you is something that is real. We are seeking to present to you a person that will never, ever fail. You know, we sing it often in Sunday school, and we're just at a Bible camp this past week, and they were singing that song, Jesus can never fail. And it's over and over again, Jesus can never fail. And they say, no, no, no. So as we present to you the message of the gospel, and as we do try to live our lives the best to our ability, and despite our mistakes, we hope that we are presenting to you a little reflection of who the Lord Jesus is. So really, as my story begins, I'm really thankful for the upbringing that I had. I was born going to gospel meetings. I was born into a family where both my parents were believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. And from before I was born, I know that I was prayed for. And I'm thankful for a father that's now in heaven. I'm thankful for grandparents that are in heaven. And many, many people I can think of different preachers and different friends that down through my, as I grew up, they were strong Christian influences on me. Different people that were close to me that expressed that I should be saved from a young child. I remember just before Daryl and Wendy's wedding, we were over in Sussex, and my now brother-in-law Trent and I were sharing a bedroom, and I think we're like probably watching a baseball game or something, and we're chatting, and then just before we went to sleep, Trent just mentions, Dean, you're almost 10, or you are 10. You should think about being saved. And just from a person, from my soon-to-be brother-in-law, is the guy I did then, I still look up to him. It was a voice. And at that time, there was gospel meetings going on in Sherbrooke, just outside of Summerside. I just know there's some farm equipment for sale there now. I don't know, but 20 years ago, David and Peter had some tent meetings there. Well, in the year 1994, the late brother Albert Holt and Eugene Higgins from the U.S., they were having gospel meetings, and of course, I was only 20 minutes away, and I was there, I think, if not every night, pretty well every night. And again, Mr. Hull was, as anybody remember him, was a very able, a very energetic preacher, and as he presented the gospel, and for those that know Eugene Higgins, a very capable brother in presenting the gospel. And yet there I was as I was going out every night and hearing the gospel faithfully preached. But the fact was that I went out of that tent night after night. Oh, I grew up in it. I don't ever remember in my growing up years that I never had this desire or have the intention that, well, you know, I do plan to be saved. That was always the intentions, but really up until that summer with all the gospel that I had heard. It just never, you know, come down as the expression goes. It didn't come down where the tire hits the road. Maybe that's where you are at tonight. As I look over the audience, I'm not sure how familiar you are with the gospel. Whether you have heard it 1,000 times or maybe this is your first time. Really what we want to impress upon you He said, there's a God in heaven that loves you. That is the verse that we have read. For God so loved the world. Yeah, we live in a world where that word is used really so lightly. You know, there's different songs, and anybody knows me knows I'm a huge country fan, so there's a lot of country songs that try to express how much, someone loves another person, and, they're nice little words, and sometimes they're a little, you can get emotional listening to it. That's all great. But really, the fact is that nobody could ever love like God loves. In fact, John, who was a very, very close friend, he was one of the disciples. He wrote several books in the New Testament. And really, John is really that disciple that was quite often very physically close to the Lord Jesus. And he writes an interesting statement in his epistle. He says that God is love. And again, if this is your first time, I'm not sure what your thoughts of God is. There's a lot of ideas in the world. Of course, there's those that don't know, that say they don't know or don't believe that God exists. That's one view, and as I think Mark alluded to, maybe you're a person that believes that there is a God, but doesn't really make an influence in my life. There's others that think that God is some distant, harsh, authoritative person that just can't wait to come down upon judgment. But then there's the God that the Bible presents. And yes, God is a just God. God is a holy person, and because of who he is, he cannot just sweep our sin under the carpet. It's not that's what we often do. Maybe there's something that we don't like the look of, or maybe something we made it, maybe a goof, something we're cutting something, we cut it wrong, we just fire it in the back of the garage, hopefully nobody else sees it. Or maybe it's just, I remember different times trying to, anybody that knows me knows I'm not a very good drawer, and sometimes I've been trying to build something, and I made a sketch out, and it was horrible. So I crumpled it up and threw it in the fire, didn't want anybody else to see it. When it comes to our sin, we just can't crumple it up and throw it in the garbage can and think that nobody will see it. That God keeps a record of everything that we do. Again, I'm not here talking about, we call the big sins. Oftentimes we think of sin and, our mind goes to maybe rape, or we go to murder or bank robbers or some of these disgusting things that are happening, sadly. And that's what we think of sin. Well, yes, those are sin. But really what I want to think about are really sometimes we call the little sins. Maybe it's telling a lie. Maybe it's as a child not obeying or not honoring my parents. Or maybe it's, I know that, I see that neighbor and he's struggling with trying to, maybe he's lugging a load of wood and he's struggling, and and you just pretend you don't see him. And you just carry on your way, even though you know that I should go help that person. That in the eyes of God is sin. Or maybe some of the thoughts that go through our head, silly, foolish thoughts. What the Bible calls those sin as well. So again, we're not here tonight presenting, so much the big sins, as those have to be dealt with as well. But really when it comes to, as I look over my audience, I don't think there's any murderers here or bank robbers, but I can tell you, because the Bible tells us that every single one of you, as you go down the rows, speaker included, we have all sinned, and we have not measured up to God's standard. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And I was raised to believe this, and I'm thankful for hearing this and having it impressed upon my mind from my parents and my grandmother. I remember different times speaking to me, and different ones, and I'm thankful for that. But the fact was that I had several Bibles with my name in it. I went to Sunday school, and I'm thankful for Sunday school teachers that really instilled in the importance and encouraged me to memorize the Scripture. But all those things didn't get me an inch closer to heaven. So maybe you were here tonight and you're thinking, well, maybe if I was born going to church, maybe if I was born in those circumstances where, the songs that were in the Bible, songs about the Bible were sung in my home, where the Bible was read, where parents were praying, and all these different things that were all good things, but the fact was that that didn't bring me any closer to heaven. It put me maybe in an area where I had a little bit of, I was privileged to be born in those circumstances, but the fact was that I was as far from God as anybody else. Maybe you were here tonight and you were born in the same circumstances as me. And maybe you think in your mind, well, I'm not as bad as the people I went to school with. I'm not as bad as those coworkers and some of the things that they do on the weekends and some of the things that they say and their attitude in life. Well, I'm not quite as bad as them. Well, the Bible tells us, it makes it very clear. For all have sinned. If you go down, we read in Romans chapter 5 and 6, if you go to verse 12, it says, wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world and death by sin. So death has passed upon all men, or it's really all men and women. And again he says it, for all have sinned. So I'm thankful again that I was born in those circumstances, but the fact was that up until that night on August 24th, had I died, I would have ended up here. Not a nice thing to talk about, but we need to be faithful to you from the Bible. You know, sometimes, sadly, there's people that they go to see a doctor and the diagnosis is really horrific. It's terrible. But wouldn't it be such an even more horrible thing if the doctor knew that you had some horrible disease that needed immediate attention and he just told us, it's okay, don't worry about it, you'll be okay. That would be, I would consider that criminal. If that doctor knew that you had a very terrible disease, knew that there was options for being cured of that disease, and he just told you it's okay to keep on going. And I want to be extremely blunt for a minute. Woe unto anybody that stands up by the pulpit with a Bible and tells people that you are okay the way you are. And for those people to go through life thinking that it's okay and then end up in a lost eternity because they were lied to from the pulpit. We want to be faithful because we love you. But much more importantly, God loves you. And God, he sent his son into this world to deal with the problem of your sin. And that's exactly what the Lord Jesus said when he said these words, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. And just far worse than any disease that you can imagine that could affect your body, it can only affect your body in this life. But sin will affect your life, but it will affect your eternity. And as the Lord Jesus came into the world to deal with that problem of sin, and that's why he was taken out to Calvary. That's why he allowed men to show the wickedness of their heart when they crucified him. They nailed him to the cross. They punched him and they spit in his face. They put a crown of thorns on his head and beat it in. And all the things that they inflicted upon him, it all proved that God loves you. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. I have two kids. I have one son, and I was thinking today, different times, or maybe he really got on my nerves, but I never would give up my son for my best friend. You know that God gave up his son for his worst enemy? You know, the verse I tried to speak on a couple times ago is written this wall. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. The Apostle Paul wrote those words, and what did he say? Of whom I am chief. For a number of years, Paul was really going and trying to jail and kill anybody that would proclaim the name of Jesus. And Paul was stopped on the Damascus Road and he was saved and his life was turned around. And he became a great preacher of the gospel. He wrote several books of our Bible, and Paul himself, as an older man, as he was taken out and his head was severed from his body, and he went to meet his Savior, the one that he loved, the one that he preached. But again, go back to the verse, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. I love this. That whosoever. You know, it's been different preachers have actually said this. My name is in the Bible. Now, you're not going to find Dean Rain in the Bible. But there are a couple names that really are fitting for me. One that I'm going to explain in a minute, but that's my name, whosoever. I can accept that. And if we go to Romans 5 and 6, there's another name that I had no trouble realizing that was talking about me. For when we were yet without strength, in due time. Christ died for the ungodly. There's my name again. Just an ungodly sinner. And I remember as in that tent meeting on August 24th, 1994, our brother Albert Hull, as he was as he presented the gospel, and I don't so much remember what he said that night, but I remember as Gene Higgins got up second, and as he read this verse in John 3:16. And again, I remember him reading, I remember him talking a little bit, but I just almost remember sitting in that meeting, and it's almost like I just started to zone out. Because there was really a voice from God came to me and said, if you don't get saved, you're going to end up in hell. And I did not want to go there. But I understood that's where I was going because of my sin. But just as that meeting was going on, and I do remember as Eugene Higgins was talking about the love of God and talking about our sin and talking about how we were perishing because of our sin, I just remember that voice coming into my mind that you need to be saved or you'll be in hell. And just as I almost just felt like I was really zoning out, and these words from Romans 5:6 came into my mind. For when we're yet without strength in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. And it just hit me. If Jesus died for the ungodly, you're an ungodly sinner. And the Bible just says that Jesus died for me, and I just accepted it. You know, it's not some great formula. It's not, there wasn't a big light show from heaven, and I didn't go to the front of a church and say some sort of a prayer or some sort of gimmick like that. It was just really a dealing between me and God. God sent his Son. He came into the world 2,000 years ago. He went to Calvary's cross. He suffered. He died. He was buried. And day three, he rose again, proving that God was satisfied. So God is satisfied. What about you? Now for me, I'm just simply resting where God finds satisfaction. As I finish, I've probably told this story before, but just it came to my mind as I was sitting there while Mark was speaking. He was back in the old days in the prairies, and there was some of these wildfires as they would spread, and I think it was the wheat. As the wheat dried out, it was really a famine. There wasn't much water, and as that wheat dried out, there was a fire started, and it traveled fast. So there is this farmer got up with his farm with the barns and the houses, and he had a large family and a lot of animals. And he looked in the distance, and he seen that what he knew was coming was really that prairie fire, and it was coming across. And he knew he had no time to save his family. Nothing really he could do, but he acted very quickly. He grabbed a lighter. He had time to make a little bit of a trail around his house and his barn. Well, what he did, he burnt this area of wheat around his property. And then as that fire came, him and his family went and stood over where it already burned. The fire went past, and his family was safe. You know what he did? He stood where the fire already was. And tonight, I'm simply standing where the fire has already fallen. The Lord Jesus upon the cross of Calvary, the fire of the wrath of God fell upon him. And simply that night, as a boy of 10, I just simply took a step of faith. And I'm standing where the fire has already fallen. So tonight, I entreat you to accept the Lord Jesus as your Savior. He will save you. We sang that. If I could only tell him as I know him, I'm sure that you would make him yours today. Trust the Savior tonight. He will save you. For when we were yet without strength, in due time, Jesus died for. I'll leave it there. Let's pray. Our Father, we're thankful for the Lord Jesus Christ. We're thankful for the gospel. And just pray for those that are here tonight that are not saved, that they would just heed the message of the cross. We feel so often that we complicate it and make it maybe harder than it is, but we just pray for each one here that is not saved, that through the message of the cross, they would understand that Jesus died for me and they accept it for themselves. We just pray to bless and give us safety as we travel home. In our Savior's name, amen.